Okay. So I guess people are still a little bit filtering in, but we can start a little bit early, maybe a minute. My name is Adam Meyer, and today I would like to talk to you about a little bit about Git workflow. And I call this presentation Road to Redemption. I'm not sure. So how many of you here are not from SUSE? So there's a few hands up. And how many of you with the hands up have heard anything about Git workflow? And anybody use it? Use it successfully? Oh, so I saw a hand that went down without using it, but then it went up about using it successfully. So I don't know. Okay, there's a little bit of a echo here. Anyway, so let's start with an agenda. I would like to first talk about motivation for this project, how it works, the design, how do you find your sources, etc., the basics, how do you do updates, how things are progressing, because they're obviously not finished. This is not the final state of things. And where are we going with these things? And also some recommendations. So before I start, I would like to talk about some terminology, because I think most of you would be familiar with OBS and how OBS works and the terminology there. And in OBS, Git sources mean something else than with Git sources, right? So normally when you talk about Git sources, it would mean upstream sources, not the packages side. So Git sources would be something on GitHub. And then for our purposes, Git packages is something that is then these upstream sources plus some build prescription or spec file, etc. And we also have not just the package Git sources, we also have the Git project sources, which is a set of packages plus the build configuration for the entire project. Maybe it's called something like a project config. In OBS, we also talked about branches. And branch in an OBS, a best analogy in the GitHub world would be a fork. So in Git, when we talk about branches, it's more just like a label of a commit. And in OBS, when we talk about branches, it's like a fork of the entire, like fork of the repository instead. And when we talk about pool, I mean this source.openstack.org/pool organization. And I'll get to that a little bit later. So what is the motivation behind this project? And I guess depends where you sit, you would have different motivation behind it. So maybe from a workflow perspective, you enjoy Git and you like to work with Git and you don't like to work with OBS. And I've actually had these questions where people were familiar with Git, but they have no idea about OBS. For them, how do you submit to factory? Like, I already have the sources in a Git project in OBS, that's already synced there, but how do I submit to factory? And this exists. So, but for me, that was not really something important, because for me, like, packages in Git, oh, okay, well, what do you put there, like a spec file? And from another perspective, in OBS, we have a kind of a well-defined, but kind of also poorly defined perspective how we manage projects. Projects are this bunch of packages, but there's not really an atomic way of updating these projects. So, from a technical perspective, when we talk about projects, it's a little bit better when we can say, okay, we are at this state of a project, and it can be defined now with Git. It can be defined as a single hash, and it defines the entire state of the project, all the packages in it, everything, including the build configuration. And it allows us to move away from something like MD5, which is embedded in OBS, and changing that inside OBS itself could be a little bit problematic. Another perspective that we can think about is a business perspective. So OBS is a product made by SUSE. And maybe there were some plans in the past about how to commercialize it or whatever to do with it. But in the end, it's something that is mainly used just by SUSE. And if we can leverage other people's experiences, maybe we can come up with something better. So, for example, in OBS, it was developed for our needs, and Git was not developed for our needs. But over time, Git has gained a lot of features, and in OBS, while it did gain features, you cannot really compare the two systems anymore. So being able to leverage these external contributions and these external experiences is another, I think, a nice motivation factor. So Gitty, for example, it's an external project. It's not has very little to do with us personally. But if something is broken, we even noticed that something is broken in this version for a new feature that they rolled out. And by the time we could even report it, it was already fixed upstream. So that was something that is nice. So these would be like the motive. There's not one motivation about trying to move to Git from current SCM. But what is Git for OBS? We don't actually want to move the build service into Git. We want to keep using the build service, but the front and the source management, the project sources, then by necessity, then the reviews, the workflows associated with this, those parts would be moving or are moving to Git. The build service, as it is, it's continuous. It just doesn't manage the workflows associated with the source code management. How do you put your package or project into Git? Using the OSC meta, you can just add it like this, and OBS will copy it from this branch. So the most important part here is to make sure you have your branch specified. It doesn't use a default. So just to recap about this project, what constraints do we have when we design these workflows? Some of the constraints that we have is basically we don't want to have special features in external tooling implemented, because then we have to carry these patches, etc. Everything should be upstreamable into these tools that we use. We should not create systems beyond the core logic, right? So something like Git, Gitty, etc. are external, but we should not introduce our business logic into these systems. Those should be something that is on top of them. So that's where automation comes in to help us. And basically, this automation defines our business logic. So you could do it by hand. You could do everything by hand, but it's repetitive. It's the same tasks over and over. So this is how we define our task. Basically, we take the third-party systems like Git or Gitty, and we introduce the business logic on top of it in forms of automation. Another constraint is that in GitHub workflow, we have only two things that we can actually do with a Git repository. We can have pull requests, and a pull request is basically a branch with comments attached. Or we can have issues, which is just a discussion without normally a branch attached to it. So in some ways it's the same. You have some discussion. One has a branch attached to it and another one doesn't. Another constraint that comes from GitHub world is that pull requests require a target. So this is something that kind of could be familiar. You're doing, let's say you have a new package, you want to submit it to factory. There's no package in factory, right? So how do you create a pull request to something that doesn't exist? And another thing to remind here is that when we started discussing this project, SLFO, or SLES, for everybody here, like SLES 16, it was always a Git project, right? So we didn't start converting it, it was always a Git project. It started as a Git project, and then we had to build our workflow around this. And why it's a Git project, there's that's kind of a long discussion, but the way it's built and other constraints, it was not possible to actually build it easily in Factory anymore. Or, sorry, to build it in the traditional, as a traditional OBS project anymore. So I mentioned earlier the in this pool organization, so source.opensuse.org/pool. And one of the designs that we very quickly kind of arrived at is that we want to have a one central repository for packages. So in OBS, you could have multiple projects, and then you have to always find like, oh, where's my package maintained? Is it maintained in Leap? Where does Leap exist? If it's in Factory, okay, we already memorized that it's OpenSUSE colon Factory, but with Git, we could actually put all the packages from all the projects into one place, and then we label the version of the package that exists in any particular project with a branch name. So if you look at, I don't know, you can look at Cockpit, for example, and if it exists in Factory, it should have a Factory branch. If it exists in SLES, it should have a, I guess, SLFO 1.2 branch or SLFO main branch. If it exists in Leap, like as a separate branch or something, it would have a Leap 16 branch, Leap 16.1 branch, etc. So these branches are actually defined by the project. And if you want to find where the binaries exist, there's actually a quick advertisement for Adrian's dashboard about binary searches for products. It's gitexplorer.opensuse.org/products, or just gitexplorer.opensuse.org. It's for basically if you want to search which binary on a medium exists, what project it's from, what version, etc. Yeah, that's a handy tool there. So basically, the design of Git workflow is to centralize package management under one Gitty organization. So we call this pool, and all the packages that are in any product would be there. And if they're not listed there, they're not actually in a product. Project design. So projects live somewhere else than in pool. So for example, there's this, let's for example say OpenSUSE Factory lives in a project like this, or there's a Leap or Package Hub. So Package Hub would live under source.opensuse.org/product/package-hub. And this project has basically a listing of all the packages and their versions that exist in that project. Yeah, OBS then takes this project and builds it. And all of these packages inside would, like I said, they point at these specific versions in the pool organization. And just to remind everybody, I guess, the important part here is that the project defines the state of these branches. Right, so if in any case you end up in a situation where the project doesn't match up to the project defines the branch. So if something is out of whack, it's always the project that wins. And this is a diagram I think I presented last year. And in the meantime, I was hoping that AI would fix it. but it somehow made it worse. So I ended up with just having this diagram again. Maybe it will improve by next year, or so I hear. So for package updates, how we envision package updates to actually happen and how they actually do happen is that you take package, let's say in pool, in pool, let's say for Leap, you make a fork of it, do your changes, make a pull request to Leap or factory or whatever, well, not factory yet, but to Leap, and then it doesn't actually get accepted immediately because we need to have OBS build this package. It doesn't build just a new version of a package in space, right? It needs a project. Because OBS always builds projects. So what happens is that we take a project, like factory or Leap, take the branch of it, update the version of your new submission, put it into the project, put any other changes there, etc. Build this package or build the images associated with this new package and updates, etc. We can even rebuild the entire distribution if that's what is required here. Do the testing, etc. Accept this change into the project, and then the branch in the package gets updated, and this actually is the same as merging your changes. Right, this is basically a fast-forward only merge into the package that happens here. So this is basically the basic workflow that is repeated for everything. So since last year when I presented here, we didn't have actually a new package workflow. We had a way of updating current packages, but there was no automation behind new packages. And since we can only work with issues or pull requests, and you cannot create a pull request into nothing, the only way we could actually create a new package is create through an issue process. So adding a new package to a code stream is creating an issue. So we want to do this via not just typing some ugly issue here, but working with something like issue templates, where you can just fill in where your package is coming from or multiple packages coming from, and just create the issue. So there's an example on the right side how this could look like. Add support for something, etc., and you want to add three packages. So this ugly square add, it would be something that is part of a template. You don't type it in, right? So you create this issue. Automation comes in and creates a package. So in this case, this is for package hub for Leap. It's adding a package that is already in factory. So there's not really much action to do. It just creates this branch that is for the new package addition. Then it down on the bottom, there's a reference to the staging, where it's actually built. Sorry, this is the issue. Forwarded means this staging, and this is the package where it's building. And all of these are cross-referenced, so the pull request to the project has the issue or issues, because it could be not just one package, but many packages here listed, which I go back here, this is the addition of the package to the repository, so, and this is the issue that was created by Lubos to add the package. So only three things, right? Very easy. So current developments, this new package workflow is deployed. It actually makes things a lot simpler internally for us to adding packages. There's no longer a manual work required for these things. It's basically self-serve. The same thing happens now in Leap. I think Lubos could tell you that before this was deployed, it was a little bit challenging adding new packages into Leap. So now this automation helps here. We've also deployed something that is like basically everything that is worked on in a lot of automation is mostly added as an option to the project. So each project that we have, let's say Leap or Factory, etc., they could use different options available. And one of the options that is now added is merge modes. So in the past, the only way to merge package updates was via fast forward only merges. This turned out to be like, it's a great idea in principle, but in practice sometimes doesn't work so well. Let's say you have some changes or something happens and their histories don't match up. I may mention that later. And it would be nice just to be able to send the new version and it merges by itself. So in merge modes, I think these are now deployed for Leap, both Leaps. If you send your new version of a package for Leap 16.0, so maintenance, it will just merge your changes into the package, take your changes as on top, right on top, as is. So this is basically OBS style submit request. And for Leap 16.1, they have a different style of a merge for now. It basically takes your package and sets the history to that. So there's no merge with the old things. And this is actually, there's motivation behind this. So let's say in Leap 16.1 is maintenance, and then Leap 16.2 is created, and you want to just sync with Factory. You don't want to keep the old history behind, so or along with it. So these merge modes allow the history to be of the package to be reset. And this is, like I said, this is configurable per project basis. Pull request status service is something that I hope to have finished for the conference, but it's maybe a few days though. When you have multiple pull requests, so you start a pull request to the package, you end up with a staging pull request that is, for build purposes and for testing purposes, etc. It becomes sometimes a little bit confusing. Why my change is not yet merged, right? And with this pull request status, we will add an overview of the entire set of packages or pull requests, or maybe the reviews that are required in these connected pull requests, so that it becomes easy to see why something is not merging. So an often question for us in the past was that this is around here for a long time. Why is it not merged? And then if you go to actually the staging, you see that it's now waiting for, let's say, QA. Something is not yet tested. Another thing that we've deployed already is basically concurrent processing of these pull requests. In the past, the pull requests were processed one at a time, right? So per organization was locked, like, for example, GNOME was locked, if that's a dev project. And then if there was a pull request, it gets processed, and the next pull request gets processed after that. And in theory, that's fine, because it only takes half, like 30 seconds to process a pull request by the bot. The problem happens is when Dominic comes along and with his script, he generates 400 pull requests in 1 minute, and then these 30 seconds suddenly takes 3 hours to finish, right? Suddenly it becomes slow. So what we've changed is basically each pull request is now processed independently, and there's only sequential processing happens is at merge time. So I think this will speed up any backlogs. We finally also deployed ability to have package names that are not just repository names. They could differ, right? I mean, imagine that. Why we want to have this? In Gitty or in GitHub, it was not possible. Like it is not possible to have a plus sign as part of the repository name because of URL encoding, etc. So basically, it's not allowed. But for us, we probably want to have this plus sign as part of a package name, right? So this was now deployed. Also for, I think last year I was talking about factory. So factory is still not in Git. But we've moved GNOME project, Devo project, into Git workflow. And why did we do this? Because one of the maintainers of GNOME project is Dominic. I don't know if Dominic is here. No, he's outside. So I can talk behind his back. Okay, good. So the GNOME project, one of the maintainers of GNOME project is Dominic. He's also a maintainer of a factory. Right? And GNOME project is slightly challenging. They have multiple versions. They submit changes en masse. This is not one package at a time updates. They're doing 300, 400 packages that could be updated. Then they want to submit one project into the next project, et cetera, et cetera. So the workflow there is, I would say, not any less or lesser than in the challenges that we would have in factory. Right? And I would say that we can only even start thinking about moving factory after Dominic is satisfied with the workflow in the GNOME project. So the future developments is we want to take advantage of Git a little bit more. I'm not sure you're aware, but this very easy to use syntax, git clone dash dash filter equals blob colon none. If you clone your repository like this, it will not fetch all the binary blobs during the cloning process. This would fetch the blobs on demand, right? And this is a feature that was added in Git already a few versions ago. And it requires this special syntax to be used. But with this, we can get rid of, hopefully, fingers crossed, LFS, because LFS is, everybody loves LFS, right? LFS works very nicely with one system, but then if you have multiple, it's it can lead to puzzling error conditions. So, and another thing that I want to actually improve, because currently what we have is Git for packagers is just Git. Basically, you put your spec file and your tarball in a Git repository, and that doesn't give much advantages over just having OSC, right? It's the same except more cumbersome. Being able to put the sources, let's say from upstream, into the Git itself, it may be something that is a little bit more beneficial. So instead of having, in OSC, when working with OBS, we are basically working with one checkout at a time. One directory is one checkout. You want to address another project branch or something, you need another checkout. With Git, this is not so much the case anymore, because there's a one checkout or maybe multiple checkout, but this store, the Git bug store, stores multiple things in there, right? It's no longer something that goes to the server. And what you can do with this is that instead of referencing, let's say, your upstream as something like a submodule or even as a tarball, you can embed the upstream Git tree as a subdirectory in a package. You can then switch to upstream, upstream checkout, switch back to the package, right? And reference any patches or whatever from inside this one repository. Somehow I think this would make some workflows a little bit easier. But for this to happen, like for now, you can try Git subtrees with something like with only SHA-1 mostly repositories, because there's a missing layer of this. Like all the packages that we have are SHA-256 based. So as soon as you try to add a repository that is SHA-1 based, it doesn't work. And this is something that needs some upstream work to be able to interoperate between these two worlds. Another thing that I want to improve is in Gitty we have basically, you go to pool and you can see all the packages there. That's fine. And then a package would have maybe a few forks from it. You click on these and you get a list. But there's no way of actually differentiating between somebody just making a fork, or is it maybe in a dev project, or right? So it's difficult to see which of these forks is actually something that could be trusted. So there's an issue in upstream Gitty now that other people find interesting and actually want to have it implemented, is to have some way of tagging trusting or trusted organizations. So we could use this for dev project identification, for example. Another thing I want to improve is we have a mindset of how we do changes. Is we take a package, we make a branch in OBS, we work on it. When it's ready, we do a submit request. And I think this translated with us to the Git world in some ways, that we want to fork this, we want to work on this until it's done, and then when it's done, we do this pull request. And when the pull request is already there, it's like, okay, it's perfect. It should be something that is acceptable for review. And I think one of the things that I want to change here is that we should work more in these pull requests. So if something, you're starting to work on something, it's not yet ready, make a pull request with a work in progress, WIP column. You get the build results automatically, right? Or lack thereof, because it doesn't work yet. Then you can fix the package in the work in progress pull request, remove the work in progress when it's ready for merging. And I think this state of working will be something that we could replace OSC branch with these things. So currently it just builds this package. In other projects you can trigger, like I think in on the C side we have different ways of staging things with Gitty labels, etc. But what is actually the big feature that is missing that I want to add is ability to add additional packages into the staging, not just the package that you're building, but maybe you want to add the build dependencies to check that they continue to build. Or you want to add some third part, like packages that are not from this dev project. You want to add them also to this, to the pull request, not add them to the pull request, but to the pull request build results itself. So you can cross check if it's still building, or get the binaries from there. I mean, you can get the binaries from there, but for the other packages as well, right? And another request that we want to work on, well, actually, that's something that is important, is to be able to share these branch names between projects. So now you may have noticed in Pool, there's a leap 16.0, and leap 16.1, and there's also a capital leap 16.0 and capital leap 16.1. And the reason for this is that leap project is composed of actually two projects. There's the package hub, and then there are the leap specific packages that exist in a different Git project. So this smaller leap project is the capital leap. And the improvement that we want to have is to be able to set the branch of the packages to be the same for multiple projects. So if you have something a package that exists in both, it should be at the same state in both, right? And not just, anyway, details. But tips, but not tricks. So I want to talk about some tips and not actually tricks here. So there was, you may have noticed at one point in time, there was this factory branch that is in Puol organization, and this one is exported regularly from OpenSUSE factory project. So the version of the packages that exist in OpenSUSE factory are exported into Git under Puol organization with this factory branch. At some point in time, due to actually human error that was not caused by any AI, and that's a true story, not it's a human error, this branch ended up being rewritten. Because somebody, there was like, well, we could change this gitignore file a little bit to be better. And when you change the gitignore file in the utility that we used, it was the first commit and it rewrote everything up. So a few hundred packages ended up into a state that was not related to the one that was already existing before. And you would think, well, factory is not in Git, so that's not a problem. Yes, but it was also, these packages, let's say, were also in Leap. And then suddenly you want to merge these changes in there and Git is complaining, error. Error one, unrelated history. error, can't help you. So with the merge modes, now it's actually, like I talked about the merge modes before, and these help here because you no longer need to merge these histories together. If you want to just submit something from factory to Leap, make a fork, or already have a fork, sync it with the factory branch, and just make a pull request to Leap 16.1, you don't have to merge anything. If there is a merge required, it will be added by the automation itself. And if you want to resolve it by hand, I have this for you. You can resolve it by hand. So if you take if you want to do an update, let's say for Leap, and sync it to factory, you check it out, you merge it, but actually you just read the factory in and you say, okay, I sync to factory. And this is very easy to remember, right, and understand. But the easy way is just to make a fork and make a pull request from there. You don't have to mess around with Git so much about these history merging, etc. And the only hint I would give you here is if you're submitting something to Leap 16.0 or 16.1, always make a different branch for it. So don't just say, I submit from my factory fork, I submit it to 16.1, and I submit it to 16.0. Because the way that GitHub world works is that when a bot comes along and wants to merge the thing, it will just add a commit on your branch because you have this check mark allow edits by maintainers and it's by default yes. And then it will add it to your 16.0 branch. And this one will also now appear in the pull request for the 16.1 at the same time, which is something that you may not want to do, right? So if you have separate branches, the edit by the maintainer or the bot, the merge one will just appear on one branch and not on the other. So there are some Git comments, actually Git OBS comments. Some time ago there was a way, plan of rewriting OSC to make it like more portable, the code nicer, etc., etc. And it was behind the main OSC. So OSC, I think in GitHub you can see OSC 2. And this never worked because you cannot rewrite something where the target is moving, right? So what we have now is not actually adding stuff to OSC, but we have this separate client for in Git which you would call with git obs, which still calls OSC. But you can use this on the command line, so git obs pr create, etc. Get the results, it's still OSCR. It may complain about missing meta information, so you can add it. But it's all via git obs, basically. That's the new OSC client for git world. Git history, a lot of people are a little bit confused about the Git history, and I think also us internally, because we never really dealt with history so much. We have history in a project of a package, and it's all independent of whatever it's sent there. But in Git world, what is being merged is always the entire history. It's not just one thing. So I think what we need to remember is that the Git history is not that critical. We should make sure that it's helpful for the developers, right? So the Git history of the project is not so much related to the Git history of the package itself. Right? So the Git history of the project is always linear, is always progressing in one direction. Nobody's overwriting that history. But the Git history of the package itself, even if it changes at some point, it doesn't include everything that was there before. Think, for example, leap 16.1 is maintenance. You actually have some maintenance updates on this package, etc. You switch this package now to the leap 16.2 is branched from that, including these maintenance updates. You just want to sync to factory state. Do you care about the maintenance request that existed there? Do you need to merge it? Should be enough just to make sure that they were included, right? That the updates were included in factory, but keeping the history around may be useful, maybe not. It's not something that we should care about, I think. That's what I want to say here. So, and this is where these merge modes come in. So I continue this a little bit. In factory dev projects, it makes sense to have fast forward only merges. So the history of the packages goes forward. But for leap 16.1 currently, you may not want to keep this history around. You can switch history to, let's say, factory project and not keep the maintenance around. But in maintenance, we don't want to shake up the tree too much. So we have a different merge mode where this automation will always merge commits if it's not fast forward mergeable, right? So if you send something, let's say you update something to factory includes already some changes, etc. This merge mode will actually merge the two histories, and the history is still accessible for both cases. So another big, small difference here in Git OBS, I mean, sorry, Git OBS, in Git workflow from OBS, is that in OBS the reviews were a little bit not so well defined, right? It was a little bit arbitrary because people could come along and just remove a reviewer, put another reviewer in their place. It's like, oh no, now it's reviewed, right? So to me, at least, it was a little bit not so well defined. With Git workflow, I wanted to have this a little bit more well defined by the project. So if the project requires some reviews, those should be somehow satisfied. And if they're not satisfiable because somebody's like something is failed, etc., or maybe it's out of scope or some review, etc., it could be skipped. So there's project maintainers can always override this with merge override, but they cannot just remove a reviewer. Everything is green, and we can just merge like that. Feedback is welcome, yes, but before the feedback, there's a list of people that helped with the project and are working on the project. This list has expanded over time. So this is my thanks to everybody here that is that contributed. It's not just me to share the blame. And for feedback, the sources for the automation are on source.opz.org/git-workflow, and for historical reasons, since the Git workflow group existed before the sources or anything existed, even Gitty, we had them on opensuse/opensuse-git-github repository. So if you find issues, you can open them there. Or I would also you could ping me on IRC. That's probably the a way of getting some attention. If you just sent an email somewhere, like something's not working, I'm writing email to factory, and then somebody like myself, I'm not reading mail factory because I'm busy, so I will not see it. And if you contact me like on IRC, which not many people are actually doing, it would get my attention and I could help you. So thank you for your attention. If you have questions, you can, I don't know if we have time, maybe not so much. There's a next presentation there's more presentations about Git workflow than ever before. I don't know why. But I'll be here today and tomorrow in this lovely weather. And you can come up to me and we can talk more about Git. So thank you.